So I'm going to talk about an age-old debate on this episode of the Carrot Cast. I've debated it for years, probably a decade. I have been on both sides of this debate, and I've learned lots and lots over the years. But this episode is going to be about a marketing lesson. Long copy versus short copy, pretty versus ugly, performance versus design. And I talk about this probably literally every single day. Every single day with our clients, with our team members. And let me take you back a few years. So when I was building my previous companies, my consulting company and my publishing company, we did a ton of traffic. We were driving lots of traffic online, lots of content, lots of SEO, some paid traffic. And we did a lot of split tests. We ran video sales letters. We did opt-in pages, squeeze pages, sales pages. Everything you can imagine. We tried long videos, short copy, long copy, ugly pages, crazy pretty pages. We tried everything, and we continue to try everything. You know, we're testing both still today. And one thing that we've learned over the years is this. Number one, there's no one single rule that this always performs in everything. So if short copy works great for this, it might not work great for this other thing. Here's an example. It was probably 6 or 7 years ago. I was doing a direct mail piece, and it wasn't in the real estate industry, but you know, human psychology still applies. But it was a direct mail piece, and I was selling something that's pretty high prices, well into the thousands. And we actually sent out a short piece of direct mail, like it was, you know, a one pager front and back. It looked really pretty. It had some good pictures, had some good copy on it, good clear call to action. And kind of the hypothesis with this was, we thought, well, shoot, maybe we can send out a short piece of mail that's going to really grab them. It's going to just be the essentials. It's not going to be cluttered up. It's going to be simple. It's going to look great. It's going to probably be the best looking piece of mail that they even have in the mailbox today. Okay, we sent it out to, I think it was about 1,000 of our customers. And we were waiting, and we were waiting. We were waiting by the, you know, by that landing page to see if any things were coming in. We were just waiting to see if anything would come in, and nothing did. Okay, nothing did at all. We sent it to over 1,000 people that already bought something from us. And we were going, man, did these actually get to people? So we hit up the direct mail house, found out if this actually went out to people. It did. It, in fact, did make it out to people. And then maybe weeks later, we started to get a trickle through, got a few people trickle through, but no one ever did buy the product. No one bought the product that we were selling. So then I was reading something else, and it's actually a marketing mentor of mine. He's an amazing, amazing marketer. My name is Frank Kern. I've had a chance to meet him several times, and he's just a great marketing mind. And he actually sent me, and this is a lesson in swipe files. Okay, if you want to become a great marketer, which you have to become a great marketer if you want to control your financial destiny, you cannot rely on other people to be great marketers for you. One of the biggest lessons I learned, and I heard this from many people, they always say, don't outsource your marketing. Now, it doesn't mean don't outsource the execution of your marketing, okay? So if you want to outsource the execution of direct mail, you want to outsource the execution of pay-per-click or the execution of SEO or something like that, you can outsource the execution of the elements. Don't outsource the strategy, okay? You can bring in a consultant to strategize with you and come up with the strategy together, but don't outsource it totally to someone else. So I made this mistake in 2011, I think it was, maybe 2012, it was probably 2011. We outsourced marketing, okay? We basically paid someone $5,000 a month for 6 months. They're highly recommended. They are a great marketer. They weren't bad marketers at all. But we probably got maybe $4,000 or $5,000 back out of the marketing that they did. And the big reason was because, while they're good tactical people, the problem was they didn't know our business as well as we did. They didn't know our clients and the pains and fears and frustrations as well as we did. They didn't know our take and our angle on it as well as we did. So if we were a part of the marketing strategy from the start, and we were at the start of it and polishing up at the end of it, we would have been way more successful if they could have just executed. But my problem was, I was trying to save time, and I was getting burnt out in that business. You've heard that story before, where I got burnt out in that business 2010, 11, 12, and I ended up selling my half that business. But I was really tired of being the marketing executioner guy. And so I thought, maybe I can outsource marketing, which to me meant everything. We're going to set goals, and you guys know how to market. You guys go do it. And it bombed. It bombed. Okay, so after that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to continue to go down this rabbit hole of just being a great marketer. Because if I am a great marketer, there's no way that, you know, there's no way that we're not going to be able to always have something to fall back on financially. okay? We might have we're gonna have hiccups, we're gonna have ups and downs, you're gonna have funks, you're gonna have times when you're in a slump and you just for some reason can't get clear and can't get clarity on what you're supposed to be doing next. You might have a business fail. It doesn't mean that you're not a great marketer, it means that you've just had a rough spot and you need to use that as a learning lesson. I've had those. But every single month now and every single day, I'm always learning human psychology. I'm always learning marketing. So now let's go back to this long versus short, ugly versus pretty, performance versus design debate, okay? Because it applies as much to Carrot members, whether you're an agent or an investor, as it does to someone selling, you know, information or selling books or selling high-end consulting. It applies the same. And let me tell you some things that I learned that you can apply in your business this week to make your website, to make your offline marketing, to make all of your marketing perform better. So going back to that lesson. So Frank sent me a direct mail piece. It was selling a similarly priced product. It was selling a similar product, actually. It's in a different industry. And I opened up this piece. It was a 7-page front and back, black and white, single spaced, 12-point, might have been 11-point font letter. No colors, no images. Okay, straight up black and white. And it had headlines in it. It wasn't all just a big old block of text, but it had headlines. It had subheads. Okay, it had, you know, some stylization in the fonts, just using Microsoft Word. Like, there were no images, there were no graphics, just using Microsoft Word, using headlines and things like that to separate and guide you through bullet points, things like that, right? So I ended up reading this whole thing, and I'm like, man, why did I read this whole letter? Like, why did I read this whole letter? And then I thought, if he would have sent me a one pager on this, there's no way I would have ever considered about buying this thing. I would never considered about it because there wouldn't have been enough information, or there wouldn't have been enough context, there wouldn't have been enough time to tell story and wrap me into realizing that I needed to reach out to him for help. Okay. And so I'm going, man, I took that and put it in my swipe file. I've got this big old box in my office of swipe files of marketing that stands out to me, things I got in the mail that stood out to me. So whenever I go do marketing and I'm kind of blocked on what I want to do, I just open up the swipe file and I go, this worked on me. Let me see if I can use this as a model to create my own. So I took that same campaign and I went, okay, let me just kind of emulate what he's doing. Let me literally take it. Let me pay someone to transcribe that letter word for word. Okay, put it on a Word document for me. And then I'm going to go through that thing and just kind of like use his framework, but change the words and use my story, use my product, use my journey I'm trying to take someone on. My page ended up being 7 pages, front and back, single space, black and white font, no images, no graphics. Call to action wasn't until page 6, I think it was. Okay, so someone had to read almost the whole letter. They had to read through 5 or 6 full pages before there was ever a call to action. We sent it out, okay, to the same people, and we also sent it out to another cohort of people, and we ended up making sales. Like, we had sales coming in that week that people were paying $3,000 for something, an amazing something that was a product we were selling, but they ended up paying $3,000 for something, and they had to read 6 pages of full content, full just typed content. Now, if I would have sent that to my brother, if I would have sent that to a friend or a family member or someone that isn't the prospect, if I'd have sent that to them and said, hey, what do you think of this? They would have said, that's too wordy. No one's ever going to read that. That's way too wordy. No one is ever going to read that. Okay. When we ask people that are not our prospect for marketing advice, we get advice based on aesthetics. We get advice based on what they think looks good, not what's actually going to perform well. But if you have the pain, if you've got this problem or you have this desire and you have this conversation going on in your mind and you have all these questions and you have all these limiting beliefs and bottlenecks and roadblocks and objections in your mind, you're going to read every darn word of a good marketing piece. You're going to read 6 or 7 pages of single space, no color, no images, you know, 12-point font copy, because it speaks to you, because it speaks to your problems, because it drags you down the copy, drags you down the page, makes you flip the page, because it's speaking to you and the problem you're having, and you're going, oh my gosh, that's me. How do they know that I've got this problem? This is speaking to me. This is made for me. I've got those problems. And then you start to agitate the problems, and you start to show them the vision. You start to show them how you can help them out of it. You start to cast that vision for them. They want it. They're wrapped into it. They're reading it. Just like a good book, or just like a good video, or just like a good movie. When something resonates with you, you're going to watch it for a while. Okay. One thing that I heard from someone recently too is they said, you know what? No one listens to podcasts under 30 minutes. They're trying to tell me that I need to do podcasts under 30 minutes. I've heard this from multiple people, and they're great people, like nothing against them. Okay, that's conventional wisdom, that things need to be short because no one has attention span. And that's just not true, okay? If you look on iTunes, the most popular podcasts on iTunes, take the top 10 or top 5 podcasts on iTunes. If you took the average length of an episode on those podcasts, they're well over an hour long. Some are 4, 5, 6 hour long episodes, but very commonly they're 1 to 3 hour episodes. Those are top 10 podcasts in the world, y'all. Okay, it's not one of the top 10. It's most of the top 10 podcasts in the world are long format, because they know their audience, because they speak to the audience, and the audience gets wrapped into something that they can relate to, that relates to them. So let's talk about websites now. One of the big objections I've heard, and I heard it a bunch, even when I was down here in Dallas, is people will say, that's not going to work. It's too wordy. You know, we've tried stuff that wasn't wordy. Okay. Believe me, I would love the most beautiful award-winning design page. Like, we can make that stuff. Our stuff, guys, we have amazing designers on our team. Okay. We can make award-winning, crazy beautiful design. We can do that. We've done it before. But every single time we test it, it hasn't worked data-wise, not just with one market, not just with one website, dozens of markets and dozens of websites when we run our tests. Okay, we've tested it. And what we have is the current carrot format works best, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, your prospects do like it. And let's pick it apart and figure out why. So when people say, oh man, they're not going to read that, that's too wordy, you only have 7 seconds to grab their attention. You are correct that you have 7 seconds to grab their attention, probably 3 actually, to grab their attention, okay? To keep their attention is a different story. As long as your website answers their questions, as long as your website immediately joins that conversation in their mind, or your direct mail piece, or your billboard, or your radio ad, it has to join that conversation already going on in their mind. What's that pain point? What's that desire they're looking for? Okay, and then you drag them down the copy. You start to present your solution to that after you agitated the problem. And they're like, yes, this is me. This is what I'm going through. They understand me. They must be experts in this. Oh man, it looks like they can help me. How do they help me? How does it work? And then that's why on our websites you have the How It Works page right after the part where it says we can buy your house, because that's the very next question in their mind is, well, how does this work then? Then the very next question in their mind after they figure out how it works is, well, shoot, well, how does this compare to, you know, like a real estate agent, or how does this compare to another investor? Or if you are a real estate agent and you have an agent carrot website, the comparison is, well, how does this compare to a cut rate agent, or how does this compare to for sale by owner? You know, you always want to compare. You always want to compare because they're comparing in their mind. And if you don't do the comparison for them, they're going to find somewhere else to do the comparison that is more in that person's favor and not yours. So then after that question, and you went through that and addressed that on a page and in the content, how does it compare? Okay, then it's like, okay, I get it. I get that they have a service that they offer that can solve my problem, it looks like. And I pretty much understand kind of how it works now. And now I understand kind of how it compares to working with an agent or another investor, or, you know, flat rate broker or whatever it is. And then it's like, I've got a couple more questions though. You know, how does it, you know, like, what about your offer? That's where your FAQ page comes in. And then they're like, you know what? I want to see if this company is a company I can trust. I want to see if this company is a company I can believe in, that I want to work with. And that's where your testimonials and reviews pop up. That's where your about page pops up. So all of this is very strategic. Okay, most people, when they do their websites, they do their navigation bars in a random order. They just throw things up there because they don't have the data. They're not thinking the way that your prospect is thinking. They're thinking the way that they are thinking, or their brother is thinking, who reviewed the website or the copy for them. Okay, so your navigation bar should always be in the order that people make a decision. Deliver information in the order that they're going to be looking for it when they're making their decision. Okay, and then with the copy, you might ask, well, how much copy should I have? How many words should I have on a web page? Well, you should have as many words as it takes to make the case and no less. As many words as it makes to take the case and no less. Okay, and we've tried pages with, you know, 200 or 300 words on them. You can definitely get opt-ins, but the problem is you aren't pre-framing your business after the opt-in very well. So what do I mean by that? There's a client of ours in Oklahoma, Carter. They're the number one home buyer in Oklahoma City. And they had a really pretty looking website. It was really pretty. I mean, it looked amazing. Everyone that would have looked at it said, that is a great looking website. But it didn't convert for him. It didn't perform for him. Okay, so he moved over to Carrot probably 2 or 3 months ago. And I sent them an email about a month after they moved over, and I said, hey, how are things going? They went through the concierge program. So if you're on Carrot, we have our concierge program that works with investors and agents that have a budget that want us to dive in and just really dial in your website, dial in your branding, give your website differentiation, wrap it around our high converting framework, but make it to where it's your own. It's something that you're going to be insanely proud of as the largest investor in your market. It doesn't matter. You're going to be proud of it. Okay, whether you're the largest or in the middle somewhere. Okay, so we have that service. Reach out to us on support, on live chat, and ask and say, hey, I want to learn about the concierge program because I really want to have differentiation. And I'll just tell you straight up, it's not cheap. It's a couple $1,000s, a little bit more than that. But we really dial it in with our copywriter, our designer, and a bunch of other things. We make it worth your while. If you lose one deal a year, you gain one extra deal a year because of that differentiation, because of just dialing it in, because of wrapping your credibility in there. It's well worth it. It's well worth it, right? So going back to those examples again, you know, we've ran the short and long copy. We've ran the pretty and ugly. We've ran the design focus versus performance focus. And I can tell you, Carrot is never going to change. We are always going to be focused on performance, not design. Now, that doesn't mean can't have an amazing-looking website. Okay, that's not what that means. We're saying that we're never going to sacrifice performance for the sake of design. And a lot of people are sacrificing performance for the sake of their design aesthetic wants and needs. Okay, they might develop a custom WordPress website thinking that they want differentiation, but they actually are losing performance and leads. So how much is that visual differentiation? How much is that worth to you? Is having that visual differentiation worth $10,000 to you? Is it worth $20,000 to you? Is it worth $100,000 to you? We've had some clients that have lost six figures in revenue because they moved over to a custom design that looked pretty, it looked great. They might have even emulated a lot of things from Carrot, but they didn't quite get the things that mattered. They didn't quite adjust that. It didn't quite hit it on mobile very well. It didn't quite stay with the technology innovations. It didn't load fast. It was on a shared web host. And when you run the test on Pingdom, half of the websites on the internet were faster than it. Versus with Carrot, your websites are faster than 80, 85, 90% of all the websites on the internet. Those things matter. So are we sacrificing our design and aesthetic wants and desires for performance? I know I did at that first direct mail campaign. I did. I wanted it to look great. I labored over the design of it. I sat there and designed it myself, and I sent it over to a graphic artist who's amazing at graphic design, but not good at direct response copywriting. We sent it out. We spent $1,000 on it. And I could have just as easily said, well, man, direct mail doesn't work. But then a mentor of mine turned me on to what actually works based on data. And he sent me the most ugly letter, the longest letter. I was wrapped into every second of it because it related to me. We did the same thing and it crushed it. We did the same thing and it crushed it. So another part of the question, people talk about landing pages, you know, squeeze pages versus websites. And you'll hear this a lot, that websites are dead, things like that. That's not the case, y'all. Like, even the companies that say websites are dead, and I'm very, very good friends, you know, with one of them. I'm in his mastermind. He's an amazing entrepreneur. And he's building a massive following around saying that websites are dead and funnels are there. Like, I love what they're doing. I'm a customer of theirs. I'm in his mastermind. I love it. But the problem is, a lot of people are reading it the wrong way. They're reading it as websites don't work. The problem is, the very people that are saying websites don't work have websites to market their business. They have websites to market their business. The problem is most websites aren't set up well to actually convert. Most websites aren't set up well with marketing and performance in mind. Most websites are set up with aesthetics. Most websites are set up with a web designer who just designs for aesthetics and prettiness. And it looks great. You're going to have the website be done and you're going to go, man, that looks great. Or the direct mail piece and go, that looks great. But then you use it and it doesn't perform and you're losing a bunch of money because of our human nature of wanting something to look great. Okay? So there's a couple things you can do. So if you're a Carrot customer or if you're not a Carrot customer, I'm going to give you a couple action items. Okay? Number one, start to keep a swipe file. Okay? Because swipe files are kind of like a little way to almost like shortcut your preferences, almost like shortcut your human tendencies of of wanting certain things that look good. Because every single time I sit down there to try to make a marketing piece, I'm always wanting to lean towards aesthetics. But whenever I catch myself engaging in great marketing, it could be a great Facebook ad that got me. It could be a great video. It could be a great direct mail piece. It could be an insanely great newspaper ad. The best newspaper ad I've ever seen, y'all, was the one that was the most words I've ever seen in a newspaper ad. It wasn't pretty, but it, oh my gosh, it was for a chiropractor. And it just like, I stopped and I read every darn word of it. I didn't need a chiropractor adjustment, but if I did, you better darn believe I would have went to that one versus the one that was on the other page with the full color ad. I mean, it wasn't even close, okay? So keep a swipe file. Anytime you see a marketing piece that grabs you, save it somewhere. Emails, I do the same thing with emails. So inside of my Gmail account, I've set up two labels. One of them says great email subject lines. One of them says great email copy. Anytime I get a subject line that goes, man, that grabbed me, I save it. So whenever I'm going to go write emails, I go to that swipe file, and something that grabbed me, I study, why did these grab me? What about them grab me? It's probably not usually what you would probably almost never write that in your email, because you think you got to be all professional and have it look good. Okay, the email copy that grabs me, like why, study those, why they grab me. What did the words say? How did it grab me? What did the call to action look like? And start to emulate those in your own stuff. Okay, when you get a direct mail piece, why did it grab you? Okay, and I'm not talking a direct mail piece from another investor or another person that's in your industry. I'm talking you as the consumer. You as the consumer. Situations where you have the problem or you have the desire, what grabbed you when you had those situations? Because it doesn't work the same if you're just trying to look at what your competitors do and you're going, yeah, that looks good. That grabbed me because it looks good. If that's the case, it grabbed you because of the aesthetics, because you are not the prospect. You are not the target of that piece. You are not the target of that marketing. I'm talking the marketing where you're the target of it. What marketing where you're the target grabs you, save that in a swipe file, and then start to use that to shape and mold the way that you think about marketing, the way that you think about changing your conversation. Here's a good example, and I've shared this recently, is we had bats get in our attic. This is like 2 years ago, and they're still in our darn attic. We got them out, and they keep on coming in through these little tiny holes and whatever. So bats got in the attic, like not a couple, but 50, 60, 70, 100 of them. I don't know. There's a lot in there. And I didn't like it, and I was kind of concerned. I had this problem, so I hit the internet, and I start to Google all kinds of things, like how to get, you know, how to remove bats from an attic. And then you start to read some of that stuff, and then you read the Google suggestions, or you read some of the websites that talk about the potential health issues, and you read some of the things that talk about the methods of getting them out and the cost of cleanup, and how, you know, some what there's like all kinds of topics that started to unfold when I started to research it. And so when I was bouncing around on different websites, all that was going through my mind, I was not thinking about marketing at that time. I was only thinking about this problem to protect my house and protect my family. And that's all I was thinking about. And so I was bopping around on different websites. I probably clicked on 7, 8, 9, 10 different websites. Batsintheattic.com. There's a bunch of other ones. And I noticed myself going through these websites. Once again, I wasn't thinking from the marketing perspective at this moment. It wasn't until after I had experienced it, I went, oh my gosh, I did exactly what our clients' prospects do. And let me relay this because I experienced it. And so I was going through reading these different websites, and I'd find myself engaging in the websites and just really reading more and clicking the different content and engaging further. And I started to create this profile in my mind of which websites were the ones that seemed like they're the most expert. You know, that's not even a phrase. The ones that were had the most expertise. And then I started to kind of formulate this thing in my mind of like, well, shoot, which one should I reach out to? And the one that I actually physically picked up the phone and called was this one that I didn't call it because it was the ugliest website. It did happen to be the ugliest website, okay? But I called it because it had every answer of every question that I had. It guided me through the process and addressed my concerns and problems and addressed all this stuff that I had going through my mind, addressed stuff that didn't go through my mind. It brought up some other things I should be thinking about. Then it gave me a link that I could click on their website and read more about that thing. It showed the methods for getting the bats out. So it showed exactly their process. Okay, it showed other people who had gone through the process with them. And it showed all kinds of everything. I'm like, man, these people are the experts. They're clearly the experts. Okay? Because they didn't leave one stone unturned in the content process. They didn't leave one stone unturned. They had some good images on there. about bats and bat poop and all that kind of stuff, right? And I got done and I'm like, whoa, what just happened? I went through the exact same process that your sellers, your buyers are going through. I engaged in a web search. I looked at a bunch of different web pages. I read a lot of content, and the website that got me was the one that had the most content, the most robust content that answered all my questions. And then it gave me a clear call to action on how to work with them next. And it gave me a local solution. It gave me a local solution, said, hey, call this number to reach our local provider. All it was a lead gen site. It was a lead gen site for wildlife removal companies. So where do you find yourself in your own life, in your own world doing that? Where do you find yourself in your own just daily life being the prospect of marketing going, oh my gosh, I read every single bit of that. I want you to take mental note of that. I want you to save those websites. I want you to document and figure out why did that get you. Odds are, unless it was like a free report or something like that, odds are if you had a big problem, you need big copy. You need a lot of words. You need a lot of copy. Okay, now there are things you can do, of course, to format that copy so it looks better, so it flows better. And that's something that we've worked with a ton of our clients on. So if you understand that you need good long copy to convert people with big problems, and you understand that you also want it to look as good as possible, we have a bunch of websites out there that have reformatted some of their content and their copy, and they still have enough copy on there to help with SEO, but they've reformatted it. So reach out to our support and say, hey, I would love to be able to visually differentiate my website while still keeping the performance. And find out about our concierge program, find out to see examples, hop on our coaching calls, we share it, things like that. We'll help you out, okay? We'll help you out. So just make sure you reach out to us there. So this one last lesson here on the marketing side of things, okay? So one thing that I always like to do is we always follow the data. So one thing that we never do is we never follow just our gut only. We start with our gut and we start with a hypothesis. And then we test and we test and we test. And then we oftentimes run third-party independent tests like that were on similar topics. We run those as well to see if they corroborated with ours. And so there's this one company called MarketingExperiments.com. And MarketingExperiments.com is probably the biggest, if not the most trusted, marketing, testing company that I've seen out there on the internet. They run split tests for all kinds of big companies, and they're mainly an online marketing testing company, and they're very, very scientific. And so they've ran tests for anything and everything. So if you ever want to learn about conversion rate optimization, human psychology, and how people interact with web pages, go to marketingexperiments.com and check it out. So we looked at one of their research studies on long copy versus short copy on websites. And what their original test showed was they were testing this landing page that was for a free report. Okay, it was for a free report. It's for free information on a topic. And during their test, they tested a long page, they tested a medium-sized page, and they tested a short page, more like a squeeze page. In that example, the squeeze page won, the shortest page won by pretty good margins, by 20 or 30%. Okay, so I think what would happen is most people would take that information, and they would go, okay, short copy must win in all circumstances, right? So then they go to their websites or they go to their direct mail pieces or whatever, and they go, I've got to make this short because this test over here said it needs to be short. You need to read deeper because the motivation of a prospect really gauges how much copy you need, and also the size of the problem they have gauges how much copy you need as well. So if you, and also one last thing, the size of the ask, the size of the risk, the size of the resistance in the transaction also gauges how much copy you need. If you're on Amazon and you're looking to buy a toothbrush or you're looking to buy an $8 book, it doesn't need a lot of copy to sell you on an $8 book. If you're buying a $1,800 TV, there needs more copy. You need more copy to buy that. You're looking at the reviews. You're looking at the specs. You're looking at the description. You're looking at all that stuff before you buy. With the book, you're probably looking at the title and then you're clicking buy on it. You don't need much copy to buy something with low risk, okay? If you are getting a free report, you don't need much copy to get that free report. It's low risk. You're not really paying anything. You're paying little. If you're paying $2,000 or $10,000 for something, for a coaching program or for a mastermind, you're probably going to need a lot of information to go through to make that decision, okay? So now how does this relate to real estate? Real estate is a big problem industry. It's an industry where it's not a small, it's not a low resistance, low risk transaction. It's not a, oh, let me get a free report, and that's the risk that the prospect is putting up. That's not it. This is the biggest financial asset that I have in my life, and I want to make sure that I'm making the right decision with this. That needs a lot of copy. So now circle back to this marketing experiment. If you would have stopped that video halfway through the video, you would have thought short copy wins versus long copy. But later on in the video, they said, okay, short copy won in this instance, but not always. Not always. They said, we've tested this in many industries, like dozens of industries. They said, where long copy works better, where long websites work better, is in real estate, medical devices, treatment facilities, things like that. So if you're looking to sign someone up for a treatment facility, like an alcoholic treatment facility or substance abuse treatment facility, you're probably not going to need just 14 lines of text and a squeeze page. You're probably going to need a lot of information with good copy, with good testimonials, with showing your processes and showing what you're about and your core values. You're going to need that to make that big decision, because that's an important decision for your loved one. If you're looking to find a real estate agent to help you with, to help you, you know, buy your dream river property or your first property, you're probably not going to just flip through and work with the agent who has the best MLS search experience, okay? The sexiest website. Okay, you're going to work with the person who seems like they have the biggest, the most expertise. The person that was able to join that conversation in your mind with words and with pictures and with video and say, I understand you. I've worked with a lot of people like you. I'm an expert in the type of thing you're looking for. Here's other people who have worked with me before. Here's how to work with me. Go here and click this or call me. Okay. So when you start to talk about squeeze page versus long copy, we've tested squeeze page for motivated house sellers. We've tested our mini sites. For us, squeeze page is one every time. We're going to be retesting that soon. But for us, squeeze page, or I'm sorry, for us, the mini sites with long copy one every time. The squeeze pages didn't. And the reason for that is because real estate and a motivated house seller, that's a large transaction. That's a high risk transaction for them. That's not a free report. That's not buying a $10 book. So they want to make sure that they're making the right decision. So if they don't believe you and those first 10 lines are in that opt-in area at the top and you have a squeeze page, you're giving them no option other than to go back to Google and find someone else, because you don't have any navigation links. You don't have any other places that they can go bop around and learn about you. Okay, but if they're not ready to opt into the top of that page on a carrot site and they have questions, we engage them down further in that copy. We give them links to go check out the process. And up there in the top nav bar, we give them an opportunity to look around and get more information and answer their questions and eliminate all those roadblocks and bottlenecks and next objections. And we give them a chance to learn about you. And that's why it's so important to put your credibility on there and become an expert. And use our video post feature to film a 3 to 5 minute video, upload it to video post through YouTube, and our system will turn those 3 to 5 minute videos of your expertise content into written blog posts for you. Like, our system will send it off. We'll yank out all of the words from the video and we'll put a blog post together for you with the title, with the video, with the transcription of it. And those help rank you in Google really well. Use video posts. That stuff isn't just for SEO. It's for credibility. It's for conversion. People that go through and see your content like that are more likely, when they opt in, to work with you, even if they opted into someone else's website. So circle all the way back to that conversation at the start of this podcast, and I'll kind of wrap this rant. Is that client in Oklahoma, he moved over from a crazy pretty looking website to one that arguably mostly everybody would look at and say, it's quote unquote busy, it's quote unquote way too many words, it quote unquote doesn't look as good as that other one. That's all on purpose. That's not because we don't have good design sense, okay? That's all on purpose because it's based on data. It's based on delivering what your prospect needs, not what you want. It's based on delivering what your prospect needs, not what you want. Your marketing is about your prospect. It's not about you. Anytime you make your marketing about you, you lose. Anytime you make your marketing about what you want to see, you lose. Anytime you make your marketing about what your brother, Alex, wants to see because he's a designer, you lose. Every single time you make your marketing about your prospect, you win. Okay, so Carter made the marketing about his prospect once he moved to Carrot. He emailed me that month later and said, man, results were amazing. I could never have pictured that they were this way. He said his website, his traffic, for his leads, not his traffic. His traffic stayed the same because all he was doing was driving traffic from offline. He's doing radio and TV, no SEO, no pay-per-click. Okay, so we didn't add any new traffic sources. It was to the traffic already coming to his website from his TV and radio. And he said, my leads have doubled. We've cut our TV budget in half and our leads are double. He said, not only that, that's not the most impressive part. He said, our close ratio, our lead to close ratio skyrocketed. He said, I don't even know how that happened. I can tell you why it happened, but he said, I don't even know how that happened. He said, our lead to close ratio skyrocketed, which means before when he was getting leads from his website, he might close 1 in 10. Now he's closing 1 in 4. That's a really high close ratio. Not everyone has that, but he's closing 1 in 4 leads into a deal right now. 1 in 4 leads into a deal, y'all. How does that happen? Because you join the conversation in the person's mind. You deliver a website with the structure that lowers resistance so they can opt in, so they can call you easily, especially on cell phones. Your technology should not get in the way. Their message then brought them in there. It answers all the questions. It pre-frames and pre-positions that prospect to want to work with Carter versus anyone else in the market because they can tell he's an expert. They can tell he's credible. They can tell he's got a great business. And they're going to wait to do business with him even if they met with someone else first. So how are you going to shift the way you think about marketing? What are you going to start to notice and recognize now moving forward? And whenever you're looking at marketing pieces that are targeting you, do you notice yourself locking into the ones that have very thin content and look crazy pretty and would win design awards? Or do you notice the ones? Or do you notice the ones and do you act on the ones that blast through your limiting objections and beliefs, that have the right amount of information to solve that stuff, but not too much, not and definitely no less? What do you react to? So put this to play. Don't make the mistake that I've seen so many customers make, and then they come back of they're going out there and they think they want something that looks different. They think they want something that is differentiated. And they got something that is different. And one of the biggest things that was different is the amount of money in their bank account because their conversion rate went down. So what's more important, aesthetics or profits? Aesthetics or truly helping out your client? Aesthetics of what you think looks great or following what your prospects actually need? So I'll leave it with this. And if you can just lock this in your brain right here. And I'm just going to restate the thing I said before. Every single time we make our marketing about ourselves and what we want and what we think it should look like, you lose. Every single time you focus on your marketing on exactly what your prospect needs, you win. We help you do that. If you want to stand out more as a carrot customer, reach out to our support team. We can help you stand out more while still retaining that high converting framework. Okay? You can make your carrot site stand out while still making that high converting framework. We have so many clients who have done this. You go to so many clients who have gone through our concierge program, or clients who have gone through and done what we've asked them to do. You ask them to do on the content side of things. So many things, y'all, we can do to help you guys customize and personalize your carrot sites while still retaining what makes it work great. Still retaining what Carter saw in Oklahoma. Still retaining what Jason Bible sees on his website in Houston, Texas. He had a crazy pretty website that he launched. 10 out of 10 people, if I were to put his website up, his custom site up against his carrot site, 10 out of 10 people, including himself, would guess that his custom site was going to convert better. 10 out of 10. Like, I would bet $1,000 that 10 out of 10 would say that. Unless they're a person who knows marketing well. Like, a world-class marketer would be able to see that. But the normal, everyday, average Joe, most of us, most investors, wouldn't see that. 10 out of 10 would say that. He ran $40,000 a month in pay-per-click traffic, testing that versus Carrot versus a lead propeller site. All I can tell you is all of his traffic comes to Carrot now. He bagged the $15,000 custom site. You can look at it on the Wayback Machine right now if you want to. You can go to the Wayback Machine, go to archive.org and look up. I think it's HoustonHouseBuyers.com. I think it's HoustonHouseBuyers.com. Look it up in the Wayback Machine. It's beautiful. You would look at it and go, I want that site. Okay? That site cost Jason a lot of money. Not just to build, but a lot of money in lost profits and leads because it wasn't focused on delivering the message in the order and in the way that the prospects needed. All right, I'll get off the soapbox. I'm getting close to getting home now. We love you guys. We're passionate about marketing. I want you to be passionate about marketing too, because it's going to unlock your future and prevent you from making marketing mistakes that can cost you a lot of money. So picture the things that work on you. Start to create a swipe file. Reach out to us if we can help you differentiate. And I want you to be an amazing marketer. All right, go check out other episodes of the Carrot Cast. We're going to be having Jason Bible on the podcast here soon. We're going to be having more marketers on the podcast soon. So you guys can be better marketers, learn from the best. I want you guys to be the best. Have an amazing week. Subscribe. Please rate us and review us. If this hit you at all, if you're going to change the way you're doing marketing because of this episode, if you're going to change the way that you're thinking about aesthetics on your marketing and aesthetics on your website, or if just reach out to us and we can help you, please leave a review. Go to iTunes, leave a review over there. Those light me up. Those fire us up. I want to get over 200 reviews. That's going to get this message in front of more people so we can change your world. You cannot get to consistency and predictability in your marketing. You cannot get to consistency and predictability in your lead flow unless your marketing works. Consistency and predictability leads to freedom, leads to flexibility, leads to growing those finances, and helps you make a greater impact. All right. Talk soon, y'all. Check out the other episodes of the Caracast. Give us a rating and review. We'll talk soon.